Good evening and welcome to Teen Scientist. I'm Raina Malhotra, your host, and doing our audio engineering tonight is James Johnson. Teen Scientist aims to bring stories of groundbreaking innovation in the science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines entirely from a teenage perspective. The program highlights local, regional, and national STEM stories with young people and respected experts in their field. On tonight's show, we'll focus on the COVID-19 pandemic crisis with two local innovators and their creative efforts with testing and vaccines. I'm excited to invite Dr. Stephen Tang, President and CEO of OraSure Technologies, a life sciences company located here in Bethlehem. Welcome, Dr. Tang. How are you today?
It's a pleasure to be here, Raina. I'm very well. Thank you.
Thank you for making the time for WDIY. It's great to have you with us on Teen Scientist.
It's my pleasure.
If you don't mind, could you share with our listeners a little about your education and background?
Oh, certainly. I don't want to frighten anybody, but after I graduated from high school, I did 12 more years of higher education. So I have a bachelor's degree in chemistry from the College of William and Mary. I have a master's and PhD in what's now called biomolecular engineering from Lehigh University. And I also have an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
What inspired you to follow a career in science and technology?
Well, that's an easy one. Both of my parents, whom are immigrants from China, come from the science and technology fields. My mother is a practice laboratory medicine, doing clinical chemistry, immunochemistry, microbiology, and the like. And she actually taught in that area as well. She founded the University of Delaware's clinical chemistry program. My late father was a research chemical engineer at the DuPont Company. He actually worked in the area of polymer design and had several aerospace applications. He was provided with a NASA Lifetime Achievement Award around the time that he passed away. And so all those interests in science and technology were infused in me very early in my life.
Could you explain for our listeners the difference between biotechnology and a life sciences company?
I had to actually look this up because I knew you were going to ask me this. So forgive me if my definition is a little off or not quite the dictionary version of it. And you have to excuse me also, because when I went to college, there was no such thing as the biotechnology industry. It was just getting formed. So I had to learn this throughout my lifetime. But in simple terms, biotechnology refers to applying the life sciences to inventions and innovations in products and services. Life sciences themselves are the study of living things, whether they're animals, plants, or microbes. And so that's the difference. Now, life science businesses take three basic forms. There are therapeutic companies. These are the biopharmaceutical companies that produce either chemical or biochemical compounds that are used to treat diseases. There are medical device companies, which make things like pacemakers and other engineered devices, mechanical engineered or the like. And then there are medical diagnostic companies, and that's what OraSure is. So we make products that help diagnose diseases, and as we say, help you know more about what's in you, what's on you, and around you.
I think that was a great way to explain the difference between the two. We're going to transition to the recent innovations from OraSure. Could you explain OraSure's start and growth into your family of companies?
Yes. So OraSure was founded here in the Lehigh Valley. There were three founders, Mike Gosling, Dr. Sam Nibala, who's still an adjunct professor at Lehigh University, and Bill Hinchey. And they started, they're one of the first funded organizations at Ben Franklin Tech Ventures, which is the Northeastern Pennsylvania's business incubator and venture capital arm of the broader Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's Ben Franklin Technology Partners. Ironically, I actually met these guys when I was at Lehigh University and beginning my career as an administrator at Lehigh. And part of my job was actually to manage the incubator facility that we had on campus. And so I first crossed paths with these three gentlemen back in the early 1990s and had no idea that it would lead me to eventually have the opportunity to lead OraSure. But OraSure's roots were quite interesting. They actually, their first product was actually a wet wipe product with suntan lotion applied to it, which they sold at the beach for individual application and use. It was called Solar Care Technologies before it was OraSure Technologies. And then they merged with a company called Epitope, which is out of Portland, Oregon. the folks from Epitope moved to Bethlehem, and they were recreated as Orshore Technologies back in around 2000. And since then, we've acquired a number of companies. That's why we call it the Orshore Group of Companies. We now have locations not only in Bethlehem, but also in Ottawa, Canada, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Boston, and Antwerp, Belgium, and have our design on a lot of other acquisitions down the road also.
And from there, OraSure created a one-of-a-kind HIV oral test that has immensely affected the fight against AIDS and HIV. Could you tell us a little bit more about this oral test and how successful it's proven to be?
Certainly. So we first developed what we call an OraQuick HIV test for use in doctor's offices. And then about 2012, we had it approved as the first in-home HIV test, or for that matter, diagnostic test for any infectious disease, approved in 2012. So it was first FDA approved over-the-counter, as we say, diagnostic, which you could buy without a doctor's prescription. Then around 2016 or 17, we became involved in the global eradication of HIV movement and worked with organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Health Organization, PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for Eliminating AIDS, and many other companies to come together. And we actually created a global product, which we call the HIV self-test. And in simple terms, what it does is allow you to sample yourself, and you do that with our HIV test by swabbing your cheeks and your gums, and then putting the device in the developing solution, and then reading it as if it were a pregnancy test. In other words, if there are two lines, one for the control and one for the test, that you can visibly read, then you are HIV positive, and then obviously should get yourself into treatment and care as soon as possible. The reason this is so important is that in many places around the world, getting tested for HIV is viewed with shame. And so anytime that shame is involved in your psyche, probably less likely to get the test. And so we found out that if we could test people in the privacy of their own homes, and they didn't have to venture out to a clinic or stand in line and be seen outside of a clinic and have people judge them, in effect, that a lot more people would get tested for HIV. And that's exactly what's happened. The decrease in HIV around the world is caused by many factors, but a large portion of that cause is due to the fact that more people are getting tested. So it's important that you know your status for a disease like HIV, because these days it is treatable. And, of course, you don't want to be infecting anybody else if you're HIV positive. So this is an important step forward for global public health, and actually was the foundation for how we viewed our opportunities for COVID-19.
And do you have an estimate as to how effective this test is?
Well, the FDA has very specific guidelines. So you can actually go to our website and see all the specifications. But we operate in the realm of the high 90s. The what we call the positive predicted value and the negative predicted value are all in the high 90s. And so it's a very reliable test.
When did you and OraSure shift their focus to COVID-19 testing?
Well, it was almost exactly a year ago. I think we entered lockdown on March 13th. And like everyone else around the world, began studying this disease in earnest. And then became aware and realized that we could use our native skills in developing tests like that HIV test, but also we developed tests for the Ebola virus also, that we could apply those skills to developing a suite of products to help in testing for COVID-19. So there are products that we use for sample collection using saliva and oral fluids that feed the molecular or polymerase chain reaction PCR tests. Those are already on the market and helping ease the way of submitting a sample in for molecular testing. And then you have our rapid antigen test, which is in development, which should be on the market sometime soon. And we also have an oral fluid-based antibody test, which helps detect whether you've been exposed to the disease and your body has mounted an immune response to it. So three different ways of helping the testing modalities for COVID-19, and we're right in the thick of things.
Could you share the time frame for a test result?
In terms of how long it will take to read the test, or in terms of when we'll be on the marketplace?
How long it would take to read the test?
It'll be on the same time frame as our other OraQuick products, which are generally between 30 and 40 minutes to read the result. So that means you can actually take the test yourself and get a result in less than an hour.
Could you explain the different types of tests and go into detail about each one?
Certainly. So a lot of people have seen images of people sitting in their car and a healthcare worker gowned in personal protective equipment, reaching into the car with a long swab and sticking up people's noses, which typically causes them to wince. Some people call that the tickle the brain swab. That's actually, in specific terms, called a nasopharyngeal swab. It's a very deep sample into your nasal cavity. Those were used very early on as a way of getting a sample for molecular test, or what I referred to as before as polymerized chain reaction, or PCR test. Those tests essentially amplify the viral RNA in the sample, and then to the point where they can actually be detected in a laboratory. So that's one mode of operation. And now OraSure has essentially taken the deep nasal pharyngeal swab out of that equation and permit people simply to give a sample of saliva or an oral fluid instead of being subject to that long swab. So that's one mode. And by the way, to that, you still have to go to have a lab do the test, and then the lab sends it back to you. And of course, some of the challenges today are it takes several days to get your test results. The antibody test is typically done with blood. OraSure's product is on track to be the first oral fluid-based antibody test on the market. But what those antibody tests determine is to whether you've been exposed and your body has mounted an immune response to COVID-19. That'll become more important, of course, as we have the vaccine rollout, and the vaccines are all designed to create an immune response and for your body to generate antibodies. And so if we're ever going to get back to normal meaning being able to travel freely and not wear masks or social distance, the notion of herd immunity is going to become very important. And what that means is that 60 or 70% of the community have mounted antibodies and are generally viewed to be immune to the disease. And so therefore, the risk is very low that the infection will continue. So that's what's called community surveillance or seroprevalence studies, and antibody tests like the one that OraSure is developing will be very important for that. The last category of tests, which are the ones that everybody is interested in, are rapid antigen tests. Antigen tests don't amplify the RNA like molecular tests do. Instead, what they do is look for portions of the virus, which are typically proteins, which are called antigens, which attract antibodies to them. And those antibodies are things that we make in the laboratory and then put into our test devices and enable us to detect the virus through those antigens. The benefit of those tests is that you can get the results rapidly and you can test frequently. And so frequent rapid testing, something that you conceivably could do every day once you wake up or every other day, is viewed by many, including many public health experts, as a key way out of this pandemic, in addition to vaccines or even with vaccines, because it gets you the results instantaneously or nearly instantaneously, and you can test yourself frequently. And so therefore, you'll know once you wake up, let's say, whether it's okay for you to go to school and not infect anybody. And if everybody did those types of tests, then obviously we'd be better off because we'd know in real time who's infectious and who's not, and we could make arrangements for those folks that are infectious to isolate themselves or get care as soon as possible. So those are the three types of tests for COVID-19.
Well, right now we are going to take a quick break. When we return with Dr. Stephen Tang, we'll continue with OraSure's innovative testing technologies and local impact and how a younger generation can begin their journey on a career path in life sciences. This is Raina Malhotra, and you are listening to Teen Scientist on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar, every Thursday from 7 to 9, here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Teen Scientist on WDIY. I'm Raina Malhotra. Joining me is Dr. Stephen Tang of OraSure Technologies here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Dr. Tang was just discussing the innovative OraSure COVID-19 testing platform. Do you mind briefly explaining the U.S. FDA process needed to bring these tests to the market?
I'll try. The FDA process is one that has many steps behind it, so I'll try to give you an overview without going into too much detail. But basically, the job of the Food and Drug Administration is to make sure that whatever tests come onto the market work the way that the manufacturers say they're going to work and are available and easy to use by the people that are intended to use it. And so in certain cases, there are doctors and healthcare workers that administer tests. Those are called professional tests. And then there are self-tests. There are tests that you can get a prescription for, and then you go to your pharmacy or your doctor dispenses it, or you go online and you buy the test, or the test is ordered for you, and then you get it, and then you administer on yourself. And then the third kind is called over-the-counter self-tests, which is what our OraQuick HIV in-home test is today. And for that, you just walk into a retail pharmacy, your Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, what have you, and buy it off the shelf and then take it home and use it for yourself. So in all cases, what the FDA is trying to do is make sure that the test developers and manufacturers like OraSure and other companies have followed specific guidelines to do their studies to determine the performance of the test, and that's reproducible by the people that intended to use it, whether it's doctors or whether it's an individual. So that's basically how the process works, and there are a number of steps, all of which requires great understanding of the science and statistics and biostatistics that make it important.
Has OraSure secured FDA emergency authorization for either test yet?
Well, we've received it for our sample collection kits. So that we have two EUAs, one for a device which you spit into and then send in the lab for molecular tests, and another one where you swab your cheeks and your gums and then send that into the lab for analysis also. The antigen tests and the antibody tests have not yet received emergency use authorization, but we're hoping to get that as soon as possible in 2021.
And what is the timeline for delivery to consumers?
Well, hopefully we'll have our products to the consumers, that is our antigen tests, sometime in 2021, probably in and around second quarter of 2021 or so. The antibody test would not be delivered to consumers. That would be sold to labs, but it would be available for commercial use then. So both of those products we're hoping come to the market, and we have sufficient product, which means you have to have manufacturing capability to have enough product to sell to enough people over an extended period of time. So all those things have to come together to make the product available to consumers, and hopefully that'll be very soon.
As this is a global pandemic and the need for tests is great, there are many different companies that are developing tests for COVID-19, such as GNC and Evrio. What sets OraSure's tests apart from competing testing platforms?
Well, we're a company that's known for high performance and high quality of our products, and so that distinguishes us. One of the hardest things to do in a pandemic is to do something for the first time, and there are a lot of innovative companies, and I'm very much for innovation and for supporting innovative entrepreneurs. It's also difficult to do for the first time. So if you have a new technology or it's something you're trying to put in the market for the first time, that's difficult. And so OraSure is a company that's been in business for many years and have many products that are out in the market. So you basically need three things to be successful as a test manufacturer. You need product development capability. So you need smart people across the spectrum of different types of science. You need regulatory expertise to be able to submit a compelling case to the FDA and support your data with statistics and good studies. And the third thing you need to do is be able to actually manufacture it in scale. And so you have to be able to have run a facility that makes millions of these tests that are done consistently and at high quality. The FDA regulates that the whole process also to be able to consistently put good products on the market. So there are a lot of companies out there and a lot of interesting technologies, but I think the advantage always goes to companies that have been there and have done that.
Now we're going to transition more into the local impact of these tests. Does OraSure produce the tests here in Bethlehem?
We do. We have produced all of our diagnostic products off of the OraQuick platform in and around Bethlehem. There are actually now four different buildings in and around the Bethlehem area.
How has the FDA authorization affected production at OraSure?
Well, we've actually ramped up our production. We're actually putting in new manufacturing lines. We're hiring a great number of people to help staff those lines. And so even though we're not the biggest company in Bethlehem, we're one of the biggest medical diagnostic companies in the area. So even with the pandemic, we're able to contribute, I think, to the economic growth of the region by expanding our manufacturing capabilities and hiring good, capable people.
How has the federal and Pennsylvania state government helped support OraSure with investment and development?
Well, part of my other pieces of my career have been in the area of economic development. And economic development means creating good jobs that stay where you create them. And so that's the business of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to create jobs within Pennsylvania and keep them here. And it's also the job of the federal government to keep jobs in the U.S. And we've been the beneficiary of state-run programs and federal programs to help incentivize us to do so. So we're very grateful for the support of Governor Wolf and the Secretary of Community and Economic Development, Dennis Davin, and the Governor's Action Team and many other people in the state for supporting us. We've also been supported by funding from the United States Health and Human Services. They have a program and division called BARDA, which authorizes grants to companies like OraSure. So we've been in partnership with the state and federal government, and I think that that's a good way to do business.
Now I'd like to talk a little bit about how OraSure is involved with younger generations in our community. How does OraSure engage young people with interest in science and technology?
Well, I'm hoping programs like this, Raina, help create enthusiasm in our community in the Lehigh Valley, and that will spark enthusiasm from young potential scientists like yourselves to learn more about OraSure. Our scientists do a lot of outreach also to schools and to organizations like the Girl Scouts to help raise awareness of what a career in science is like and what the scientists actually do. You know, it's just like anything else. If you've got to be able to see it to be it. And so the more that we can role model that in our community, I think the better chance we'll have of interesting young people to join the sciences.
And how do you think young people can work towards making a major difference in science and technology?
Yeah, I think it's all about curiosity. It's all about wondering about your world, everything about it, from the weather to the climate, to what affects weather and climate, and why greenhouse gases are going to create difficulty for us, why biodiversity is important, how did this COVID-19 virus start, and how are we going to make sure something like this doesn't happen again? It's all those questions that I think are natural for people to ask. And I think that as somebody that is young and interested about how things work, the more questions and the more we can support people to ask questions, the better off we'll all be.
Many of our listeners here on Teen Scientist are aspiring scientists who are interested in pursuing a career in the STEM field. What would you like to share with our teen listeners who think life sciences is a future for them?
Well, I do think life science is the future for everybody. I think what this pandemic has proven is that the more we can take care of ourselves, and in other words, test ourselves for COVID-19 or find ways of determining whether our blood oxygen level is declining before you actually get to an emergency room or to a doctor, the better off we'll be about that. And so taking control of your own health, I think, is very important. And that's not only good for your health and well-being, I think it also sparks creativity and ways of thinking about the world and the way the world could be better through innovation and inventions. So I hope that's something that your listeners can take away from this, is that there are companies like OraSure, started off as a very small company from our beginning. It was led by some very smart people, scientists and business people, who I would call entrepreneurs. So I think entrepreneurs have a role in advancing innovation in areas of life science and others, and hopefully that can be an additional avenue for your listeners to pursue.
Is there any advice you wish you knew when you were in the shoes of a young, aspiring scientist?
Wow, that was a long time ago. But what I would say is, particularly in this country, and particularly Lehigh Valley, you have the chance to reinvent yourself many times over. I think when I was your age, Raina, I didn't realize that that was the case. I thought that, you know, you sort of went to college and then you set yourself on a career. Maybe you worked for one or two companies in your lifetime, but you really couldn't change very much. It turns out that's not true. I think that if you take control of your own interests and your career, you can do many things and find yourselves in many different roles and experiences. So I hope your listeners, and I hope you find that very exciting in terms of possibilities.
Finally, what else would you like our listeners to know about OraSure and its future innovations?
Well, I think that we can all make a difference, whether we're an individual, a small company, a medium-sized company, or a large company. And what this pandemic has taught us is we really do need to pull together and work together and cheer for each other. And so I think you see that in all of the diagnostic companies working on COVID-19 tests today. We know that not any single company can conquer the disease and conquer all the testing challenges. We really do need to work together. And that goes for the vaccine companies and people that are developing therapeutics as well. So it's a moment where I think we can all learn to pull together and make a difference.
Well, thank you, Dr. Tang, for making time to be with us today. It's been fascinating to hear about the COVID-19 testing technologies OraSure has been working on. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Tang, and we can't wait to see how OraSure grows with the future.
Thank you, Raina. I wish you and your listeners all the best, and go science.
We're going to take a quick break right now, but we will return shortly. When we come back, we'll continue with Dr. Gary Moorfield, founder and president of Vaxform LLC, a biotechnology company located in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This is Raina Malhotra, and you are listening to Teen Scientist on WDIY.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Connect to WDIY with our new streaming app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs that you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices. Welcome back to Teen Scientist on WDIY. I'm Raina Malhotra. On tonight's show, we'll focus on the COVID-19 pandemic crisis with two local innovators and their creative efforts with testing and vaccines. Tonight, I have a special guest, Dr. Gary Moorfield, founder and president of Vaxform LLC, a biotechnology company located in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Welcome, Dr. Moorfield. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you, and thank you for having me on your program. I look forward to our discussion.
It's great to have you with us on Teen Scientist. If you don't mind, could you share with our listeners a little bit about your education and background?
Sure. I started my education at the University of Florida, where I got a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry. And following that time, I went to Purdue University, where I got my PhD in pharmaceutics. From there, I worked at the U.S. AMRIID at Fort Detrick, Maryland, so at the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, where I worked on biodefense vaccines and adjuvant and formulation developments for those biodefense-type targets. From U.S. AMRIID, I worked at Sanofi Pasteur, the largest vaccine developer and company in the world, working on more common vaccines that you know about, so things like flu and diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, hepatitis B, polio, all kinds of different targets and combination vaccines. And then following my stint at Sanofi is when I started Vaxform. And for the last 10 years, we've been working on growing Vaxform and some of the new technologies we developed.
So what inspired you to follow a career in science and technology?
So I've always been interested in science technology, I think particularly through my mother. She was a pharmacist and then also went on to get her PhD and worked in the pharmaceutical industry. And so I actually had quite a bit of exposure to potential careers in science and technology and what that might hold. And so I guess really my upbringing, I was exposed to a lot, and it really held my interest from an early age.
That's really amazing. Let's transition a little bit more into the recent innovations with Vaxform. Could you explain how Vaxform began working with Ben Franklin Ventures?
About 10 years ago, we started Vaxform, and when you're doing research, you need a laboratory facility, and those can be quite difficult to come by in Lehigh Valley, and especially for a starting company with not much money. So it's great that we have facilities like Ben Franklin Tech Ventures where young companies can go and be supported in those early stages as we get our feet under us and provide facilities and help with everything from accounting to business development and just things you don't necessarily have access to when you're just starting up. And it's very helpful to have a place, an incubator such as Ben Franklin, to help with those beginnings.
Absolutely. So moving more into oral vaccines, could you share with our listeners Vaxform's beginnings in 2010 and the shift to working with COVID-19?
Back in 2010, we actually were doing a lot of contract development and consulting with large pharma customers. But then we started our own research actually on group A strep vaccines. And group A strep is when you think about strep throat and what causes that. That's the bacteria that causes strep throat. So our original research, and we are still moving that forward actually, was on group A strep. And from there, we started developing more technologies and moving into the oral platform. And around 2017, we actually won a National Science Foundation grant to start developing that oral vaccine platform, actually with DTaP vaccines, that's diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and looking at could we take these traditionally injectable vaccines and move them into a platform that could be delivered orally without needles and that's also able without refrigeration. And so when you think about all children get these vaccines, it's a lot more difficult to immunize children in rural areas and third world countries where they don't have access to the cold chain supply lines and medical professionals to administer them. So that's where our oral platform started. And then once COVID came to being in late 2019, early 2020, we saw the opportunity to be able to use this platform for this pathogen as well. And we've actually also been awarded NSF grant for the COVID as well. And also the state of Pennsylvania has been very good in supporting it and winning a COVID grant through the state as well. So we've been getting quite a lot of support through the NSF and the state of Pennsylvania to move this forward.
So you mentioned the SBR grant from NSF for oral vaccine delivery platform. Congratulations. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
So SBR grants are to help small businesses bring their research to market. And so they support not just biotechnology, but all kinds of different technologies from softwares and medical technologies. So we were able to win some money from them to help support our early research and be able to move more quickly to get into the animal potencies and human evaluations of these potential vaccines that we have.
And then in December, your team announced a collaboration with USSF and with its CEO, Dr. Kyle Flanagan. Could you talk about this collaboration and how it began?
Dr. Flanagan and myself met a good probably 10 years ago or so, and this was actually through both of our daughters are the same age and were on the same gymnastics team back then. And so during all of these practices and gymnastics meets, we got to know each other and discuss what we did and how things were going in our industries. And we decided to start US Specialty Formulation because one of the issues when you're small in pharma is availability of production capabilities. When you're trying to move from a discovery mode into a real product and evaluation in humans. And so we thought, well, based on our skills, we can do this. And that's where US Specialty Formulations came in providing sterile injectable production capabilities, originally focusing on smaller scale and IND productions, really because in the United States and the rest of the world, there's not much availability of that capability. And so we've been building that company to support smaller companies, you know, in the U.S., and we have collaborations with companies globally as well.
And then could you discuss a little bit about the entire drug development process and how it's bringing a vaccine to market with its FDA approval differently compared to prescribed medicines?
Sure. So when you think about vaccines, they go through the FDA through the part of the FDA that's called CBER, so and that's the biological arm versus CDER, which is the more traditional small molecule drug arm. They're pretty similar in that to start, you do preclinical work in animals and see that it's safe in animals and get the response you want in animal models for the disease. And from there, you move into phase one clinical trials that the main focus is safety, and then into phase two and three, where you look at dosing levels and efficacy. And finally, in terms of vaccines, I know in the current COVID situation, they've used emergency use authorizations, but traditionally you would receive what's called BLA, which is a biologic licensing agreement. And that's basically the approval to basically sell the vaccine to the general public for use. Traditionally, it took a very long time for that entire process to get going, like 5 to 10 years typically for a vaccine to obtain all the data and make sure it's safe and effective. And so it's a truly amazing feat that we got to emergency use authorization of the current vaccines in such a short time.
And then could you explain the trial process a little bit more with the clinical evaluations in humans and the timeline of all of the testing?
Sure. So actually for our COVID vaccine, we're in the animal safety testing. And so what we do with the animal safety testing is we actually give more doses than humans would get in case an accident happens or something and somebody gets more than they should. And really do a lot of monitoring and ensure that the animals remain safe and healthy. And that takes, just for that study alone, usually takes about 2 to 3 months. And then when you move to humans, again, you start off in phase one where you're looking at safety. And so you slowly give increasing, it's called a dose escalation, until you get to the dose that you think will be effective in humans. However, at phase one, there's not enough subjects enrolled to fully understand if it's efficacious or not. That's why you move to phase two and three. And in phase two and three is usually where you really get the numbers of people where you can nail down, is it a single dose, is it two dose, what your actual dose of your vaccine will be. Then over time, you can collect more data, as they're doing now, in terms of how long does the immunity last, you need additional boosters in that time. And so traditionally, those phase two and three could take years, whereas now, because of the ongoing pandemic, they really condensed that time frame down to a few months.
We're going to take a quick break right now. When we return, we'll continue discussing the many projects Vaxform has been working on. This is Raina Malhotra, and you're listening to Teen Scientist on WDIY.
This is WDIY Executive Director Greg Caponia wishing everyone a Happy New Year and thanks for your continued support as we proudly begin our 26th year serving the Lehigh Valley community. As we enter 2021, we are aware of the challenges facing small businesses working to retain their customer base while reaching out to new customers. If you run a small business, let us help you get the word out. For the next 4 months, we will be offering affordable underwriting messages geared to small business. For information, please send an email to greg@wdiy.org. Thank you.
Galactic Travels brings you hour-long soundscapes of electronic, ambient, and space music. That's Thursday night at 11, right here on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to Teen Scientist on WDIY. I'm Raina Malhotra, and with me today is Dr. Gary Moorfield from Vaxform. We're going to just jump right back in from where we left off. Could you explain where Vaxform is right now in the trial process?
Sure. So our vaccine is in the non-clinical safety phase of the process. So our vaccine is currently in the animal, so we're looking at safety and efficacy of the vaccine in these animal models. And we hope to have that completed by the end of February. Once we have that completed, we are able to file what's called an investigational new drug application to the FDA. And that's what allows us to move into human evaluation of our vaccine. And so the Vaxform USF collaboration is hoping to have that filed by mid to late March and actually start human trials of our vaccine by April of this year. And then depending on how things go with those initial human trials will allow us to either go faster or reevaluate the formulation moving through the later phase clinical trial that are required for obtaining approval.
And do you have any understanding of how effective it will be?
So based on the experience with other vaccines, our target is actually the same spike protein receptor binding domain as the current vaccine. So our expectation is to have equivalent efficacy in the 90s percentile as what has been seen with the vaccines you hear about in the news. And in our preliminary animal data, we are seeing good immunogenicity and viral neutralization in the animal study. So we are expecting equivalent efficacy as what is being seen with the RNA-type vaccines.
Could you talk a little bit about how many doses will be taken?
So we're hopeful that it will eventually be one dose that will be needed. However, we always start with two because we want to make sure we see an immune response from animals and people. And then as we move forward through our trials, we'll have arms in those trials that will confirm is one sufficient or is two sufficient. And that's actually one of the advantages of Vaxform's oral platform is that it's a much easier way to do booster administrations because you don't need medical professionals necessarily to administer those boosters. In fact, with our stability at ambient temperatures, you can even envision direct shipment to outbreak areas and the population self-administering themselves to be boosted when new outbreaks occur. So that's an additional reason why we're very excited about our platform and helping provide production during the pandemic.
And how much do you expect will be produced? Is there a certain timeline that Vaxform will be following?
So that's where a big part of our collaboration with U.S. Specialty Formulation comes in and scaling up that production in the near term as we move into clinical trials. So right now, our target in the early part of this year is to start being able to produce about 300,000 doses a month and ramping as we obtain more data. So that way we'll be able to start stockpiling doses, and assuming success in clinical trials, we'll have a significant quantity of vaccine to start shipping out to the general public once approval becomes available.
Will distribution be local?
We definitely anticipate having local distribution. So the manufacturing is occurring at our Allentown, Pennsylvania facility for U.S. specialty formulations. But we don't just see this as helping locally. We definitely see this as a global solution to COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2 virus, especially when you think about more third world countries that don't have access to the ultra-low freezers or even refrigerators and medical professionals. And so we really see this as a solution, not just locally, but can be valuable at a global scale.
Absolutely. So where is your research primarily being conducted?
So the research phase of this project is actually done in the Ben Franklin Tech Ventures building that is at the mountaintop campus of Lehigh University. So we have laboratory facilities up there, and that's where we did the initial design and development of the vaccine. And then the production and scale-up is being transferred to the U.S. specialty formulation site over in Allentown.
What kind of investment does this mean for the Lehigh Valley in terms of jobs, development, and facilities?
So I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth in the Lehigh Valley, especially in bringing high technology manufacturing jobs to the area, scientist jobs, enhanced infrastructure. So we're already in the process of building renovations and bringing the high-tech manufacturing capabilities to the facility in Allentown. So we've so far had a very good relationship with the economic development organizations in the area, and I think everybody's excited about bringing these high-skill, high-tech jobs to the area.
How do you think having a major vaccine development initiative locally will affect the community at large?
You know, for myself, I think it can bring the community a lot of pride in knowing that this is something that was done here, that they have people in their own community. Not just scientists, it's the manufacturing people, it's the quality assurance people, it's the regulatory people. So it's not only from a science perspective, but it takes a large effort from the community when you even think about broader than our own vaccine in terms of the logistics and shipping and everything that needs to be done and everything needs to look well locally. I think people can have a lot of pride in playing their part, even if it is a small part, in the development of something that has such a large impact on global health.
Could you explain the involvement of the Pennsylvania state government and what support they've provided or will provide along this journey?
Sure. We've been very appreciative to Governor Wolf and Secretary Davin, and we have obtained COVID grants from the state to help with equipment purchases. And we've also obtained economic development assistance to assist with building renovations, infrastructure improvement. That come along with that is being able to increase our workforce and provide jobs to the community. And so having that support is crucial to enable us to do this work in the time frame and to the quality that's needed to get complex product like a vaccine out in a time where it's useful to combat the pandemic.
Now we're going to transition into how VaxForm engages with young people with interests in science and technology. Could you explain about that a little bit?
Actually, VaxForm typically has interns during the summer where a lot of times they'll come from, say, Lehigh or Muhlenberg or local colleges in the community. So we'll have a project for them to work on over the summertime between class semesters. And so they typically learn what it's like to work at a small company in the technology field, what it means to be a scientist there, what kind of problems you work on, what kind of instruments, and what the expectations are for that type of career.
And how do you think younger people can work toward making a major difference in science and technology?
Yeah, I think it starts with just being interested in science and technology and pursuing that interest. And really, science and technology is typically a big collaboration. And so letting your ideas be known. And when you're younger, it's easy to think that your ideas might not be critical. But I find it takes ideas from all different fields and all different people to solve these complex problems. And so I think it's getting interest, maintaining that interest, and really talking to people and really more learning more about and being excited about science and technology.
What would you like to share with our teen listeners who think biotech is a future for them?
Sure. So I think it starts with finding that interest. And then I think education-wise, getting a good foundation. And that starts in definitely early on in university and having a good foundation, you know, if it's chemistry or biology and whatever you might be interested in. And really, it's what you put into your education and building that foundation of your education and then seeking out some of those internships and experiences that will really help guide you in what you enjoy doing, because that's really a critical point, too, I think, is finding something you enjoy doing. If it's, you know, developing vaccines or working on cancer or working on aerospace or computers, finding that and finding a good base knowledge and really finding something you enjoy really goes a long way in helping you build that foundation and building for the future.
And to finish off, could you share any advice you wish you knew when you were younger and in the shoes of a teenager interested in science and technology?
Yeah, I think one thing I thought about as a young person is it's not really necessarily, you don't need to know what exactly you want to do. I think there's plenty of opportunities. And I think really trying out different opportunities and finding what you truly like is important. And so, you know, I started off with a chemistry background and actually I do more biological things now. And so I think it's really just good to try out many things to really understand what goes into working in that field and finding your interest.
Finally, what else would you like our listeners to know about VaxForm and their future innovations?
What I would like people to know is that all the scientists at VaxForm are working hard on our COVID-19 vaccine, and we're really excited at the results we're getting, and we really hope to provide a big contribution to fighting this pandemic and helping get everyone through this.
Well, thank you, Dr. Moorfield, for making time to be with us today. It's been fascinating to hear about the COVID-19 testing technologies VaxForm has been working on. It was a pleasure to talk with you, Dr. Moorfield, and we can't wait to see VaxForm grow in the future.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our discussion, and good luck to you, Raina.
And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in tonight for WDIY's Teen Scientist. I'm Raina Malhotra, and I'll see you next time on Teen Scientist.